In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Monday, September 27th, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number one of the program, you heard highlights of General Keith Alexander of U.S. Cyber Command testifying before the House Armed Services Committee. And cyber actually was the focus of a double dip of hearings last week. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller covering them both and writing about them under the headline, Workforce is DOD's Biggest Cyber Challenge. And Jason writes, across the Defense Department and all the military services, the shortage of qualified cybersecurity employees is evident now more than ever. Between DOD Cyber Command, the new Army Cyber Command, the Navy's Fleet Cyber Command, the Air Force's 24th Air Force, and the Marine Cyberspace Command, the dearth of available talent is slowing efforts to bring all of these new offices to full operational capability. The words there of Jason Miller under the headline, Workforce is DOD's Biggest Cyber Challenge. You can read the whole story on the front page of federalnewsradio.com under the Today's Stories column, and Jason in studio with me now. And General Alexander had a lot of interesting things to say in hour number one and in your story on federalnewsradio.com. Later on in this hour, we'll hear from the heads of each of the cyber commands, essentially, of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. And also kind of reiterating to a subcommittee, the Terrorism, Unconventional Threats, and Capabilities Subcommittee of the Armed Services Committee, some of the things that General Alexander said and also expanding on those. What was your number one takeaway, though, from this series of hearings on Thursday?
What's interesting is how the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, DOD as a whole is really setting up what they're trying to do with cybersecurity. I mean, I got a chance to shake the hand and meet each of the cyber commanders for the military services. And, you know, obviously they're very impressive people. They're all generals or admirals. But the fact is that they all kind of have they know the vision. They know how it works up. I mean, if you think that the big difference, there's a lot of difference between the military and the civilian side. But to me, that was the one big difference that stood around cyber is that chain of command is in place. And it didn't take them long to put it in place.
Yeah.
Well, on the civilian side, you still have this kind of, well, it's kind of OMB, and now it's kind of DHS, and it's kind of justice, and it's kind of state, and it's, you know, kind of like, not that state's in charge, but it's that idea of who's really leading this, and now it's the White House with the cyber coordinator.
There are a lot of pieces in the civilian agencies, too. NIST has a piece, and it's here and there and everywhere.
In the DOD, it's really everything got moved to NSA and the Cyber Command, which obviously led by General Keith Alexander. DISA still plays a role, but DISA is on the operational side, and I think NSA and the Cyber Command are on the policy side, the R&D side, the really, okay, we're going to make sure the networks are secure side, though, so what they call blue and red teaming. So I think that really stood out. The other thing that came out was I was expecting General Alexander to say something to the fact that our biggest challenge, our biggest problem is this type of attack or this type of threat. And the fact is, as the story talks about, workforce.
Yeah.
It's all about the workforce. We could have the best defenses, but if we don't have the people in place to make those defenses happen or to spot the threats or to analyze the threats, it's a people, people, people. And again, we talk about this, you and I, and we at Federal News Radio talk about the workforce all the time. But the fact is, here's a real great example of why the workforce matters so much.
Yeah. A couple elements of the workforce discussion that we heard in hour number one and that we'll hear a little bit more of here in hour number two that I find interesting. First of all, General Alexander, you write, said that DOD wants to hire 1,000 cybersecurity workers a year across all the services over the next few years to help build up the cybersecurity workforce. Let's say that carries out over the next 5 years. That's 5,000. DHS wants to hire 8,800. Every agency is looking for cybersecurity professionals, and every company that does business with the federal government in the cybersecurity realm is looking for essentially the same people.
Right.
Now, where are these people coming from? They don't grow on trees, and every person that I've ever had sitting in the seat that you're in right now that has anything to do with cybersecurity, I ask them all the same question. What's on somebody's resume that says to you they're going to be a talented cybersecurity professional that the government wants? And every single person gives me a different answer. Every single one.
That's fascinating.
I've never heard the same thing twice. So who are these people going to be and where are they going to come from is what I would like to find out.
Well, it's a problem, as you so accurately state, everybody has the same problem. It's a problem that nobody has an answer to. Now, DOD says, okay, we realize we're in this predicament, so we're doing a couple things. The Air Force, and I thought this was great, General Weber, who's in charge of the 24th Air Force Wing, that's basically their cyber command, said, listen, we're looking at the junior ROTC. So these are high school age kids, and we're holding a contest. And the contest is going to be for them to develop, set up a network, run the network, and defend the network, and get them interested in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already looking at that, you know, 16, 17-year-olds to say, okay, in 3, 4, 5 years, they can be part of that force that's going to help defend our networks. They're also looking at, okay, who do we have now? Wounded Warriors are a great, really a example of people who can come in, already understand the military culture, have a lot of skills already, mm-hmm. and they can just reapply those skills to defending the network. So that's how the military is looking at different ways to get it in. But I think in the short term, that 1,000 a year is a lot to hire, and
yeah.
they're just going to be stealing and trading, and people are going to go back and forth depending on who has the most money or the best, most interesting project. And I think that, you know, the companies, you say the companies who do work for the government, but the companies themselves need the cyber because they're
right.
under attack as much as the government is mm-hmm. for their own intellectual property.
Yeah, and I think that's the element of it that we forget about. When Woody Hall of General Dynamics was here a couple of weeks ago, he said the very same thing. He said, we don't just need to hire cyber professionals to sell their services to the government. We need to hire cybersecurity professionals to protect our network because we've got intellectual property too, and we've got proprietary information too that we don't want available to everybody.
And in fact, this whole cyber discussion started with the attack called Titan Rain back in the it was late 90s, early 2000s, that really blew up this whole idea of, oh my God, we have this problem and we need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was against, a lot of it was against the military industrial base, and that's where that's coming from. The other thing that stood out, I'll just kind of digress back to General Alexander, was he talked about this new kind of attack called destructive attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're seeing with the virus that's going around now called Stuxnet,
mm-hmm.
which Max Kakis from our staff has a great story on, an interview with Sean McGurk from DHS, and how it's, yes, this is aimed at Iran and India and Pakistan and places like that, but it also could be aimed right back at us, that attacks a vulnerability in Siemens control systems. And he's really worried about that type of attack, General Alexander, is saying, well, if they take down our communications, our command and control systems, and especially when you're talking about in war, in theater, that makes it that much more serious than if you do it back here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So he says they're seeing more and more of that type of thing coming, and they have to defend against it, but it's not so easy.
All right, back to the workforce for a minute. The other thing that General Alexander said about the workforce that I found interesting, because it's kind of been a pet peeve of mine when it comes to talking about any workforce issues in government, is he made very sure to talk about retention, keeping the talent that the government already has. And when we talk about workforce issues in government, I think we, and I'm just as guilty of it as the next guy, so no disrespect intended to you or any of the other people that cover the workforce in government, but we get so hung up, I think, on talking about recruiting and how you hire this new generation of people and give them tools and da-da-da, on and on and on, that I think we forget about the old sales axiom that it's easier to keep a customer than find a new one. And I think the exact same thing applies in HR. So I thought it was very interesting that General Alexander brought that up to the Armed Services Committee, saying we're focusing pretty much just as much on keeping the good people that we have as bringing the new people in.
And that was the same thing that carried over into that next hearing later that day with uh-huh. the Armed Services and their cyber commanders. The fact is, retaining and bonus systems is something that DOD can do, and they're taking advantage of. The Navy, for instance, Vice Admiral McCullough, who runs the Navy cyber fleet, says they can offer up to $75,000 bonus if you reenlist for 6 years for certain types of skills,
mm-hmm.
such as cryptography. And that's impressive. The Marines are now also looking at that same thing because they realize not only do when they have good people and they train good people, but they need to keep them. Because what they say happens is, and this was a great point made at that second hearing, you don't just come up with a cyber operator, as they call them, or cyber expert.
Yeah.
That's 2 years of training.
Mm-hmm.
And if the average person does a 4-year enlistment, they only really have then 2 years to reap the benefits of that training. So how can they do it? And they talked about not moving them around for promotion, making sure once you're in cyber, you stay in cyber. Or maybe you give them that kind of bonus to have them stay in a little bit longer. I mean, there's plenty of things they can do. And then the other piece of that is the civilian workforce. How do they balance that? Do they all need to be in the military side? Do they mm-hmm. all need to be civilian? So there's a lot going on. But I would agree with you that we don't look at a retainment enough in the government because it's a combination of knowledge base, of training, and of skills that, if they're hard to find, how do you make sure you keep those skills?
All right, one more thing I want to ask you about, and I'll let you go, and I appreciate you spending so much time on this afternoon. One of the questions that General Alexander answered that we heard in hour number one was a question from Buck McKeon, the ranking member of the committee, about Operation Buckshot Yankee, and that was the, from Congressman Conaway, about Buckshot Yankee. That was where somebody stuck a thumb drive in a DOD laptop in the Middle East, and an infected flash drive put a worm on the military system. Took them 14 months, apparently, to get the thing off of there. Is what we're seeing and hearing at this hearing a direct result, do you think, of this Operation Buckshot Yankee? Because General Alexander said, we don't want cyber operations in the military to just be Army and just be Navy and just be Air Force and just be Marines. And yet, in what we're about to hear, we've got a head of cyber for each one of them individually.
So let me back up with the first question.
Okay.
Operation Buckshot Yankee. I think that was the one that made them really open their eyes. Uh-huh. Remember, there's been Titan Rain, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
There's been several other, but this one was like, oh, that was like that moment of okay, this is a bigger problem than we ever thought about.
And this is us. This is our own network. This isn't the Estonia or whatever.
Or the big internet out there. So I think Estonia and Georgia are also two other ones that really opened their eyes. I don't think it was the one that caused this, but I think it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, going back to, they want to do things jointly. They talked about training. We're going to have joint training. And in fact, they have one school that does that joint training. So matter if you have an airman or a soldier or a Marine, everyone is trained the same. I don't think by having different cyber commands at each military service silos cyber, because they all report up to General Alexander and the U.S. Cyber Command. They all have, as he said, significant beachheads at the Cyber Command at Fort Meade. Mm-hmm. And some have total all their offices there. So I think that they've fixed that problem or fixed the potential problem of it being very siloed. Everyone does their own thing. By the policy is going to come down from the Cyber Command. It's going to spread out. You can implement it on your network. So I think there's a lot of that top down focus already installed. And I think that's just going to compete it. But remember, everyone has different networks. The Navy has shipboard networks that are much different than the Army that has theater networks, than the Marines who have similar to the Army, but have their own issues and have to communicate with the Navy networks. And the Air Force then has, Space Command in the sky, plus as well as their ground networks. So everyone's a little different, and that's why you need the separate commands. But they're all getting direction, policy, procedures from the Cyber Command, General Alexander.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller writing on this subject under the headline, Workforce is DOD's Biggest Cyber Challenge. You can find it on the homepage of federalnewsradio.com. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
We will continue our conversation about the workforce at the Department of Defense with the heads of the cyber commands from each of the branches of the military, Vice Admiral Bernard McCullough of the Navy, Lieutenant General George Flynn of the Marine Corps, Major General Red Alexander of the Army, and Major General Richard Weber of the Air Force. Up next on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.